Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, we got a little time to breathe here. Whew. Man, it's been a busy one here, leading into really good games with the Heat coming up, Toronto, and then they get the big offensive test with two against the Brooklyn Nets, one over the weekend and one on Monday night. So that will be fun to watch and see. Hopefully they get everybody back. And then those games on Sunday, man, should be really, really fun to watch. And I expect them to be really, really good games.
They should be, right. They should be good games.
Whether you're a fan or you're just sitting back kind of watching them, I really don't care. Kansas City story is a great one. Buffalo, at this point, Buffalo's kind of hard to like dislike. They've been beaten up pretty good, and then Green Bay, the MVP, the guy that's going to win the MVP, it's pretty clear cut, is Aaron Rodgers playing against Tom Brady, who ended up throwing one of the few guys that threw 40 touchdown passes and lots of experience in these 14 conference championship games that he's played in. My God, it just sounds
14.
So weird. God, 32 playoff wins. Two more this year. 32 playoff wins. Think about that. 32. When was the last time we had a win? I remember it was against the Colts.
Right. Lamar Smith.
Lamar Smith had the big game. We have not won in 16 years of doing the games on the radio. We have not won a playoff game.
I was at that game, and I was in high school at the time.
Yep, I believe it.
We have not won a playoff game since I've been doing the games. That'll fire all of us. Just fire all of us and get a clean start.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Maybe you're
just
the
get.
Common
you know what? If they
here.
Believe in all that stuff, just make a quick call. You guys are out. Thank you. Appreciate it. Hope you had fun, Jason. You stay, but the other two guys go. Hey, anyway, God, it's just the numbers, man.
The numbers are ridiculous, Joe. You can never, honestly, I'm never going to be over that.
He's
right.
Got as much to throw right now as somebody. I heard somebody, I'm stealing this. This is not my thoughts. He got more to throw to right now than he ever had in New England. He's got the same tight end, maybe not as good as he was. He got some guys on the outside. Now, I don't know if Antonio Brown, where he is right now with his knee hurt a little bit. But they still got a lot of other guys that are really good. 1 through 4, 1 through 5, that's a damn good group. And if they can get a running game going, their offensive line's really improved. Boy, I could see it going either way. And then, you know, I don't know if anybody throws it better in the snow than the guy that's going to win the MVP. So, I keep going
back and forth on it.
And God, Green Bay's kind of a nice story, too, and the whole thing with they drafted a quarterback in the first round.
Right, right.
And Aaron Rodgers can go out and win an MVP. When was the last time a team, it might never have happened, where, you know, they're going, you know, I don't know about Aaron. Go ahead, let's draft for the future, draft a quarterback. And not a 40-year-old quarterback, a guy that's 36 or 37. Let's go ahead. And then Aaron Rodgers goes out and wins a friggin' MVP. They might win it all. I mean, it's not crazy to think. And so, what'd you draft the quarterback for? You didn't know your guy was this good? I mean, it's not like he ever has a really, really bad year. And I know he's a pain in the ass to deal with sometimes. I think the better they get, the longer they're around, the more of a pain in the ass they are. But,
right.
Man, so we'll see. And of course, the thing we talked about earlier today was the Cards. And not to offend anybody that's – and, again, I just want to say this to everybody. We got going on the Cards from earlier. Dina B over 99.9 Kiss Country was – I don't know how she got on. I don't know if somebody stiffed her on a card or something, but – she that just happens. Really likes Cards and likes receiving them. And so she asked me, thinking it was a slam dunk, I guess, that I was a big Card guy. And I go, no, I haven't given my wife anniversary, birthday, Christmas, or Valentine's card in years. And it's not trying to be mean or ruin relationship. It's just never been brought up like, hey, thanks for the card. I was, no sarcasm or anything. So I don't do it, you know. And she was thought it was a little crazy, and I said, everybody's different. Some people do it. Zach, you said you do it for everything.
Everything, right.
That's fine. And all women are different, whether they like it or not. So if you do it, and I asked, and I received what looks to be most of you get cards, and that's fine too.
Yeah, some don't. It's not 100%, sure shot here, especially in the text machine. There are a lot that do, a lot that don't, a lot that say there's no chance. I mean, the one guy, what did he say? You're not getting Jack Diddley squat like to his wife.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, I didn't mean for it to go that far.
That's a tough guy right there. Make your point
with that. I don't believe in cards. And I told her that when we started dating. First time we made love, I go, before I make love to you, no cards. Okay. Let's have sex now. That's great.
Right.
Anyway.
Let me read you a couple more off the text machine because a lot of them are on the cards. He goes, I'm not a romantic and I hate buying cards because none of them say what I want. Unfortunately, my wife loves them more than gifts.
Can you do it? That's great.
54-year-old male, white, 16-year relationship. That's what he said.
You do it. I totally agree. If your partner or some of your spouse, if they're really into the card or into anything, like my wife likes flowers, loves flowers. Because I even said one time, I said, they don't last very long. And that was like, basically, I said, I'm not big on your family or something. Like she didn't want to hear that. So I get it, and I do it.
But flowers are nice, though. They brighten up the house. They smell good.
Smell nice, right. That's two. Nice. Sees them right there every time she goes in. And like,
can't go wrong
flowers.
With chocolates and stuff like that, too, right?
I'm done doing that.
Chocolates either.
That was another one we gave up.
Why, because you eat them all?
Yeah.
Well, right. Yeah.
That had to do with me. She's not going to eat that. Yes.
Here's this one, Joe. Yeah, Joe, when folks get older, they get nicer because they're making that last-ditch effort to get into heaven. When are you going to start?
I'm going to start working on it. But I'm way behind. Listen, for everybody, and I've had fun with the Catholic Church, being a Catholic. And listen, man, like, I got a long way to go. Like, for people I rip that I know are in hell right now, there's a good chance we're going to meet. I mean, I just
maybe if you stop saying stuff like that.
So I've got –
it would be a little better for you.
I got some good Christian guys in my life. I do. I've got some really good guys who walk in and talk. It's really refreshing. They're not frauds like most of the guys I know, part-time – I like to call them part-time Christians. But I got to tell you, there are some really, really good ones. And I love being around them. And I tell them, I go, you guys are refreshing, man. This is the way it's supposed to be. This is the way a Christian's supposed to be. But I got a long way to go just to get back to me. I got no shot.
You should stop saying your enemies are in hell at the moment.
Well, there's people that I've said some things about that.
While we're on the subject, you may want to end waiting up with for less me. Enemies.
Oh God! Okay, you gonna dogpile? Wow. Is this where I'm on? And jeez. Four people have jumped on. Now you've decided you and your buddies to hate or die.
I don't think you're going to hell. I just don't think you're like a first ballot, shoe in to go upstairs.
Oh no, that elevator! I'm gonna get on that elevator, and it's gonna go. Hey, we got 20 floors. You're getting the two, but you got to get off, and there's a lot of bad people there.
No, you got to stay. It's one of those when you get on the elevator, Joe, and every button's pushed. You got to wait to get to 20, but you got to go to every floor first.
You know what you are? You're like a steroid baseball guy. You're very, very questionable. Like, some people think you're okay to get in, some don't.
That's good, Woody.
You're a steroid baseball guy.
I got to be like A-Rod, man. A-Rod, like, God bless A-Rod.
All right.
Sitting there on the big day, new president, all those special people, and there's friggin' A-Rod right in the middle of the whole thing, standing next to all the former presidents and all the important people, and I'm like,
Joe, it's like single guys. God bless you, A-Rod. All time.
God bless of all the athletes, it's you. God bless. He was with J-Lo. Now, listen, he was on J-Lo's coattail, which is fine. She was there to do a little singing, so it was fine. We got a lot more to get to. I want to get off this topic.
Somebody just texted in, why the hell are y'all talking about cards? My wife's in an earshot right now of this. Now I got to go get a damn card for her.
Oh, man, you don't have to get. Why don't you do a homemade card? I'd like to hear somebody go, I'm doing a homemade card.
Hollywood.
That's my idea.
Just do a homemade card. Go get a piece of paper. Doing different colors or something.
Wait, is that what you pictured me doing? Like taking a piece of construction paper?
Construction paper, right. Cutting
drawing it. Pictures and, like you draw?
And by the way, well, you're not real romantic. I've listened
to some of Joe's doodles.
Stick figures that Joe draws. Yeah. This is roses, family.
Roses are red, and always start with that. Roses are red, and violets are blue.
Right.
Yeah, and then you can rhyme it with anything you want to. All right, we got to go to
I
break
think
here.
I just rhymed and didn't
I
even
did
realize.
On purpose.
I'm actually going to have Joe make a card. I'm going to say that my 4-year-old made it.
You take some of those doodles
and
put them in a card.
That's
right.
Real funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Can you draw a heart
real,
and a person,
real.
Joe?
Sometimes he draws suggestive pictures, though. We can't have that.
Stop looking. I've never seen a guy so infatuated with everything I write or put on there and then try to read into what it means. Like, you get into deep thought on what I
write. Oh, there's deep
Stop
meaning,
it.
Joe.
Mike right. Florio's coming up next.
This team is going to take on the identity of this city. This city's been down and it found a way to get up. All right. And so this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth. And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right. And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take 2 more shots to knock us down. And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take 3 shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing.
All right, Joe, we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline to talk to Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. Mike, we got to see Dan Campbell up close and personal years ago back here as the interim head coach.
He would kick some ass out of some knees is what we're telling you. Yeah.
Oklahoma drill, all that stuff that he had down here. What was Detroit's first reaction to Dan Campbell's press conference?
Well, you know, first of all, the Oklahoma drill is forbidden now, so he's going to have to come up with other tactics. I feel like I heard... And this is a very, very dated reference that only Joe and I are going to get. I feel like I heard a twist on some lyrics from the Johnny Cash song, A Boy Named Sue, in some of that Dan Campbell was spewing. I think that those things he's talking about would be violations of the rules. I think that I don't know that biting off someone's kneecap is articulated in the rule book anywhere, but I have a feeling that would be unnecessary roughness. And here's the last point I'll make, because I like the attitude. I like the fire. I don't understand why they do these introductory press conferences with these coaches in a suit and tie, like they're going to a funeral or something. I mean, let these guys be a little more comfortable. Let them be a little more natural. They don't wear suits like Tom Landry on the sidelines anymore.
No.
It just amazes me that there's just this, hey, it was like that when I got here, and that's how the teams continue to adhere to the idea that, well, we got a new coach. We're going to slap him in a suit. And it's the only time he's ever going to wear this suit that we're paying $500 for, or in the case of Ben McAdoo, $29.99 off the rack, and it's 10,000 But I both love and hate this part of the year because Dan Campbell just looked like a gym teacher who was showing up for picture day or something in that suit. Let him be natural. Maybe he would have been even more effusive and over the top if he'd have been wearing his coaching gear. But anyway, I know this is high-level analysis. That's why you have me on the show. It's such a visual component of these new arrivals. Think about Adam Gase in New York a couple of years ago and his introductory press conference. The impression that Ben McAdoo made, as I mentioned earlier, in his giant David Byrne suit. This is the first introduction to your fan base, and it just looks, in so many cases, stiff and awkward and unnatural.
Mike, let's get into the other one here that's got so many different parts to it. Deshaun Watson is teasing a lot of places. They're excited up in New York thinking they have a chance with what they can offer. I know a lot of Dolphin fans feel the same way. Eric Bieniemy, do you think he gets that job in Houston?
I'm not sure. And if I'm Eric Bieniemy, I want to have an opportunity to sit and talk with Deshaun Watson before I make a decision. Because I want to know that Deshaun Watson will stay if I take the job. I'm not interested in the job if the first order of business is going to be presiding over a trade of a franchise quarterback. So I need to know he's on board.
Good point.
Bienemy is one of the guys that Deshaun Watson recommended that be interviewed, and initially he was ignored. You know, Watson also recommended that Robert Saleh be interviewed, and he was completely ignored. They didn't even talk to Saleh after it all came out that Watson was unhappy that he was being shut out of a process they told him he'd be involved in. So if I'm Bienemy, I'm very leery, and I want to know that me taking that job is going to keep John Watson around. So I don't understand why Bienemy doesn't have a job. I don't understand why the six other vacancies didn't go to Bienemy. I don't understand why he was shut out each of the last 2 years. When you consider the Andy Reid pipeline, Doug Peterson popped out of that job, offensive coordinator who doesn't call plays because Reid does. Peterson becomes coach of the Eagles and wins the Super Bowl. Matt Nagy pops out of that spot, goes to Chicago, playoffs twice in the first 3 years, and now Bienemy's been stagnating. And,
right.
You know, a point I made earlier today, when the NFL was collectively shunning Colin Kaepernick, they at least tried to spread some sort of semi-plausible or flat-out BS reasons why Colin Kaepernick wasn't in the NFL. No one is articulating any reasons to anyone as to why Bienemy can't get a job. It's confounding to me. And, you hear this vague, like, well, but he doesn't interview well. Well, you're not hiring somebody to sit and talk to you for an hour and a half at a time at the country club. You're hiring somebody to coach your football team. This obsession with how a guy interviews is ridiculous. I don't get it. And I think whoever ends up hiring him is going to be happy. And maybe it'll be the Texans, maybe it won't be. But if they want to fix this thing with Deshaun Watson, it sounds like he's probably their best choice.
So how do we fix the bigger problem in getting more black coaches hired for head coaching jobs? What's the league going to do now? Because it's going to be a topic. The commissioner's going to talk about it in his NFL Super Bowl press conference. It's going to come up. What's he say?
Yeah. Well, I don't know what he's going to say, but what he says is probably not going to be what needs to be said. I mean, the reality is the Rooney Rule was born out of a risk of litigation from 19 years ago when the late Johnny Cochran and Cyrus Mary sufficiently scared the NFL into thinking someone was going to sue them for discriminatory hiring practices based on race. So they come up with a process for ensuring opportunity for consideration. And we've had 19 years of the Rooney Rule, and we see compliance with the letter, sometimes not the spirit, but we see compliance with the letter of the Rooney Rule, but we still don't see an improvement in the numbers. When you've got 70% of the players who are black, 35% of the assistant coaches are black, but such a small percentage of the head coaches are black. At a certain point, you don't need to have secret tapes of Donald Sterling or any other smoking gun evidence that gets harvested through the process of taking depositions and reviewing documents and all the things that go into civil litigation. You just look at the numbers.
Yeah.
That's Exhibit A. Look at the numbers. The numbers speak for themselves. There's clearly an issue here. And until they get sued and lose or get sued and get scared, it's not going to change things. That's the bottom line. And, you know, I got a ton of respect for what the Fritz Pollard Alliance does, but I can't reconcile the two comments that came from Rod Graves, the executive director of that group, this week. First, he says it's mind-boggling, the lack of opportunities for black coaches. And then he gives a thumbs up to the Jaguars, who hired Urban Meyer. Everybody knew they were hiring Urban Meyer. That wasn't an open process.
Right. Nope.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he checked the boxes and he talked to the Fritz Pollard Alliance and he identified candidates other than Urban Meyer. But come on, anybody who's smart, who has their person lined up, is going to do what needs to be done to make it look like there was compliance with both the letter and the spirit of the rule. Meyer was always the guy. And, you know, here's the thing. For any vacancy, there's always going to be a qualified white coach, and there's always going to be a qualified black coach.
Right.
And when we keep seeing that fork in the road constantly go in the way of the white coach and the numbers pile up, like I said, they speak for themselves. You don't need a smoking gun. You don't need some sort of a damning admission. All you need are the numbers. And at some point, and I don't know what happens, but that's going to be the thing that finally triggers real improvement if someone gets sued or is afraid they're going to get sued by someone who is chronically overlooked. And if Eric Bieniemy's the guy to do it, you know, you got to trade in your career, basically. Look at Colin Kaepernick. What happened when you take on the machine? And that's, I think that's the thing that allows the NFL to just continue to tread water through this kind of murky environment, even though it's annually going to be an issue until it finally does improve.
Mike, so what the Deshaun Watson drama, regardless of, I guess it's all going to depend on the coach, but do you see him asking for a trade, asking out at this? Because we haven't seen that yet where he's come out and blatantly said, I don't want to be here anymore. We only hear reports, maybe stuff from his agent, I'm not sure. But do you see it coming to that point where he does that? And then how many teams, even with quarterbacks now that probably are starters in the league, are going to be literally lined up to try to get their hands on Deshaun Watson?
My understanding is that Watson is moving in the direction of asking for a trade. He hasn't uttered the magic words yet, right? Because he understands that once he does, he can't go back, right? Once you say, I want out, what do you do? And you have to understand the full implications of it. You have to be ready to hold out of training camp, hold out into the regular season, if the Texans are going to refuse to buckle, if they're going to refuse to trade you. See, the problem with the Texans, they've become so dysfunctional and irrational in their decision-making, you can't predict. You know, if you're playing chess with them, you don't know what they're going to do. They may not do what's in their best interest because maybe they aren't capable of figuring out what's in their best interest. Maybe they think it's in their best interest to dig in instead of maximizing the value and finding out which teams that Deshaun Watson would be willing to play for because he has a no-trade clause that allows him to dictate at least where he's not going to go. But say, give me a list. Give me a list of the teams you want to play for, and then they'll work those teams to get the best possible offer. So, look, I think that there's still a chance they can change his mind, but once he says, trade me, it's over. And I think that's one of the reasons why he hasn't said it yet, because he knows it'll be over. And as to the teams that are interested, I think it's easier to identify the teams that shouldn't be interested, you know, like the Chiefs and the Bills, the teams that have the clear-cut franchise quarterbacks, especially on the right side of 30. Why would you be interested in Deshaun Watson? There aren't many of those teams. And I've been keeping my eye out for the possibility of a three-team deal here because, you know, and it came up yesterday as it relates to Tua Tagovailoa. I think there was a report out of Houston that the Texans wouldn't want Tua. Okay, well, what you do then is you find a team who does. That team gives something to the Dolphins that flows back through to the Texans as part of the trade. And you could do two separate trades. You could do one trade. But I think that, you know, it's just another moving part here. The team that has a starting quarterback, what is that team going to do with it? Does that team go to the Texans? Does it go somewhere else with that quarterback? And then does that become part of the compensation package? So it's complicated, potentially. We haven't seen many trades like this. We still aren't going to see it. We don't know that we're going to see it, but I think that it is not going to be an easy thing to pull off because of the reality that, you know, there may be a team that decides to get to the front of the line that currently has a starting quarterback, and that situation is going to have to be dealt with along with the move that brings Watson to town.
Mike, earlier in the show, we had Aaron Wilson on from the Houston Chronicle, who's been covering a bunch of stuff here. He said Cal McNair is really close, he and his family, to Jack Easterby and will not fire him. He's not going anywhere. Would that have anything to do with this decision, or can Deshaun work around that? Because, listen, VP of football operations is a big deal. It is.
Well, yeah, and I've got strong opinions about Jack Easterby, and this is not personal to Easterby. He first landed on my radar screen in March of last year when someone in the league pointed out that there were some inconsistencies in his resume. I mean, this is a guy who got his foot in the door as a chaplain, unpaid chaplain with the Kansas City Chiefs. They paid his eventually travel expenses. He claimed at one point that he was the assistant to the director of football operations in Jacksonville in 2004. It turns out he was a summer intern while he was in college for a handful of weeks with the Jaguars, right? And I didn't do anything about it at the time, but once Bill O'Brien got fired, I went back and looked at it again, and I noticed that the resume online had been changed to gloss over that. So that's when the recovering lawyer in me starts to activate, and I start looking for BS. And it's well documented out there, and others have reported on this. My assessment of Jack Easterby is he is a guy who saw an opportunity to become something that he's not qualified to be. He's not qualified objectively to be an executive VP of football operations. And this gets back to the whole Rooney Rule conversation. There are plenty of black executives who are far more qualified than Jack used to be that should have that job. There are white executives that are far more qualified than Jack used to be who should have that job. And, you know, every time something dysfunctional happens with the Texans at this point, my reaction is that's what you get. That's what you get when you put someone who is wholly unfit in a position of power and influence. When things happen that shouldn't happen in the wake of that decision, it's because you made that decision. So, you know, this guy's got Cal McNair bamboozled, and they reportedly have prayed together for enlightenment. Yeah, you know, think about this. Cal McNair is getting ready to hire a general manager who may undermine or fire Jack Easterby. Easterby reportedly goes to him, and they pray for enlightenment, and the next thing you know, they're on a plane to New England to hire the guy in Nick Caserio who's going to be no threat to Jack Easterby. So, you know, the fans, I'm impressed in Houston, are very in tune with this issue, and they understand the problem. And Cal McNair's just trying to keep his head in the sand about it and hope it all blows over. But I don't think it will until the team, number one, solves the Deshaun Watson problem, and number two, starts winning some football games.
Should have done some praying with Andre Johnson. Listen, Andre Johnson, I've known since he was in high school. I've never heard Andre Johnson say a bad thing about anybody that's been able to cover him or anybody he's even fought with or torched. He's one of the nicest human beings, and he's ripping Jack Easterby.
Yeah, well, and see, anyway. Easterby's got a very specific personality type. It's almost like a televangelist in your face, you know, and wearing – look, I grew up Catholic. I got 12 years of Catholic school. I have certain beliefs about how you should handle your own beliefs. And, you know, there are portions of the Gospel of Matthew, I believe it is. I'm not going to cite chapter and verse. I don't carry that stuff around in my head. But I remember what I learned about making ostentatious and open displays of your Christianity in a way that is a little too much. And I feel like that's what Easterby does. And he uses that to ingratiate himself to certain people. And it turns other people off because people can see through it. And he's got an audience of one, and it's Cal McNair, and it works on Cal McNair. And as long as it works on Cal McNair, he stays employed. The problem is you lose a guy. You're right. You lose a guy like Andre Johnson, and there's something wrong with you. Because Andre Johnson's not the kind of guy who's going to go around saying those things about anyone. And I agree with you. That's the first time I've ever heard him really go after anyone in all the years he's been connected to football.
Right. Yeah.
And he's one of the people.
Right.
Yeah, he's one of the people that was on this supposed committee, which really wasn't a committee, of individuals that Cal McNair was going to consult with in these hires. And that's his assessment of Jack Easterby. So.
Pretty crazy stuff.
If you're a Texans fan, just serenity now, serenity now.
You know, Mike, I didn't know your background since you and I had the same background. So bless me, Father, for I have sinned. How long's it been, Mike? How long's it been since you went to one of those confessions? Come on.
Hey, you know what? It's funny. I'll confess this to you. My son and I watched Godfather Part 3 last night because we'd watched the first two together.
Yeah.
And I knew, I remember hearing that 3 stunk, and it stunk. And at one point, Michael Corleone gives a confession, and he says, "My God, it's been 30 years." And I started doing the math, and I thought, "Man, Michael Corleone, I got you beat, buddy."
I've been a while too.
I've never been a big fan of the whole guilt-based thing. I remember how when I was in grade school and they made you go. Remember when they made you go? Did you go to a Catholic grade school and they made you go?
Yeah, I did. I went to all that stuff, man.
I have few traumas in my life greater than sitting in that pew and waiting to go in to this dark confessional and try to come up with stuff that I did that I shouldn't have done. But just the whole idea, like you're on your way to the gallows. Like I want nothing to do with it. And so anyway, I'd have to spend a lot of time reflecting on the last 4 days.
I'm sorry, Mike. It's the only sports show that's gonna ever ask you how long's it been. Like, listen to me, Mr. Catholic here.
Hey,
oh my,
let me tell you, this is either the ultimate coincidence or it's a message from above, given that I was just thinking about that 12 hours ago.
Don't worry. My guys have said I got no shot to go above the amount of people I blasted. I got no shot. So thank you. Hey,
my argument, last point. I know you got to go. My argument is, and my wife doesn't agree with me, that it should be like for a husband and wife, it should be like an average. That should be the assessment when it's time to get in or not get in. Because she's more than good enough to get both of us in. I don't think she wants to take me with her, though. So
that would have been Joe's answer too. Don't worry.
Oh yeah. Mike, I got that sweet little wife too, man. And she's like, why do you do and say the stuff you do? All right, Mike, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
All right.
It was Mike Florio from Pro
Football. I didn't know Mike was part of the Catholic thing, man.
Look at that, right?
Did not know.
Look at that.
Hey, let's take a quick break here. We'll come back and check in on the text machine. If you haven't been offended somehow in this 9 o'clock hour or late 8 o'clock hour, then we really just can't offend you. Then you're in good shape. You're good. Weekend's gonna be good. A lot of good stuff going on over the weekend. Right now though, if you don't mind, I have some great news for you. With this beautiful weather, if you're looking to get out and you started looking around, you're starting to think about a new car, truck, or SUV, well, listen, I want to be the first to tell you, you got to take advantage of this great weather and stop by your South Florida Chevy dealers, take some test drives, take a walk around the lots, look at these new beautiful 21 Tahoes and Suburbans, all this space. Even if you're going, I don't know, it is big, and Joe Rose says he's got one, and it's real. Just sit in there and tell me that big boy isn't comfortable. Just bring somebody else. Bring the biggest people in your family and go, he's right. This thing is really comfortable and fun to drive. So the Tahoes and Suburbans, they look great too, man. The new look is great. I like the Trailblazer. You know what? The 2021 Trailblazer is sweet. The Blazers, the Equinox Traverse, if you want a smaller SUV, midsize SUV, Silverado trucks, man, I just don't have time to tell you about all of them because I always want to go back and tell everybody about being in a Tahoe now for more than a decade and how much I enjoy just driving. It's just so much fun, and everybody asks me, I get the same answer. Listen, this is what your South Florida Chevy dealers are all about. These are the best products we've ever had from top to bottom. When you look at great price, great look, you want something your neighbor's going to go, hey, I like it. And also, it's got to be something you can afford, the safety features and plenty of space inside for you and the whole family. That's what it's all about. That's why I want you to stop by, get a great deal, fall in love, take some test drives this weekend. Hey, no excuses, man. We got convenient locations in Dade, Broward, even Monroe County. Find your new roads at your South Florida Chevy dealer this weekend. All right, you guys, before we kick it off into the weekend and check in on some texts, just curious here. Well, who do you guys like in these two games? What do you like, Zach?
I like Buffalo and Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl.
You took both visiting teams?
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
I don't think Kansas City loses that game. I don't see any way they lose that game, but I am with you. I think Brady
you do?
Goes up there and wins that game.
So I think the two home – I'm not going against home teams anymore. By the way, I'm not playing spreads, but I'm just
– Well, you picks, will be yeah. later on. At Joe Rose Show on Instagram.
I will
and
do
Joe
it later.
Will give his picks.
I will do which,
You'll
by
give
the way.
Picks, which I again,
God,
I
it's like
track.
Me trying to pick first – it's like me trying to find first-round quarterbacks. It's just not good.
Yeah, I actually last week before I posted your picks on there on the Instagram page, I put a little disclaimer that – we don't keep track of your record, and we don't.
Yeah,
no. For any game.
But if somebody doesn't like you, then go, yeah, why do you have that job? Look at the way you pick games. You suck. But I'm going to take both home teams. I'm going to take the MVP, Aaron Rodgers. Not that he went to Cal or anything else, or he's from Northern California, born and raised. And I'm not going the other Northern California guy. Nope, not Tom Brady. And then Mahomes, going to keep this thing rolling. Mahomes comes back amazingly. Now watch him not play, and then.
Well, I mean,
I don't buy that Chad Henne starts a win. I'm not. That would be an upset. That'd be the upset of the weekend. Chad Henne's the starting quarterback, and they win that game. And it's not taking shots at Chad. The difference, Chad is a 35-year-old backup and the best or the second best quarterback in the NFL, which. Knowing what most of you are going to already say about that. All right. So, anyway, Zach, what do we got coming in here? We got a few minutes to find out what we got going on.
All right. Someone says, 54, and here is what I wrote to my wife on our anniversary card. Being married to you for 20 years has felt like 5 minutes, but the 5 minutes has been underwater. Oof, God. Jeez. Doesn't sound like a very good relationship with your wife there, buddy.
No, 5 years underwater, you're dead. I mean, that's terrible.
Right. 5 minutes underwater. 5 minutes, even 5 minutes.
For David Blaine, that's easy, but for the average man, that's...
probably not good.
How long do you hold your breath for, Joe? Underwater.
Oh, God, we've all done that as kids, haven't we?
Right.
What did I get to? I don't remember. It wasn't great. it wasn't exactly going to be Rob Conrad out in the ocean.
Are you a big swimming guy? Do you?
No, I'm terrible.
Did you just drop a Rob Conrad?
I still think about Rob Conrad going 9 miles, falls out of his boat. He's by himself, doesn't have a safety vest on.
And gets there, right?
And he makes it.
Right.
Ends up in some $9 million home on the beach.
Smart.
They go, what are you doing? Hey, you're Rob Conrad. Boy, he's disappeared. What happened to Rob Conrad? Where is he now?
I don't know.
Rob Conrad has always been quiet. Very successful, by the way. Very successful.
Right, he's making money somewhere being quiet.
But Rob Conrad is, he's trying to get in that, let me see, Zach Thomas and Cam Wake. The guys that, they're around, but you never hear from them. Yeah, what happened to him? What happened to Rob Conrad? Some former player out there. Where's your man? See, usually guys that all play together, Rob Conrad. Like, where's the guys that played with Rob Conrad? He was close with Ricky. He's one of the first guys to come out and said, Ricky's tired of carrying the ball 350 times a year. That's why he's quitting. He's going to go smoke all that Mary Jane to forget about it.
Rob is probably tired of blocking 500 times a year also.
Remember we tried to get him on? He goes, yeah, I don't want to deal with this. I'm going to take some time off from this story. And that's got to be the greatest swimming of all time. What was it, 10 miles?
Right.
He swam?
Way out there.
Even a friggin' current at my back, like, you know, bringing me back into the – I'd have no shot. I don't know why I thought of that. You asked me how long ago. Hold my breath. What else you got? I don't know.
Can you even swim the length of, like, an Olympic-sized pool?
It's tough. I do I don't even know what they call it. I just tread water, man. Just
the doggy paddle.
Doggy paddle.
Joe, speaking of pool, someone said, since you don't send cards, do you think the pool man still sends your wife cards?
we still crack up about that old pool man. He got to be old now, but he used to have that tank top. And I looked the way my wife and mother-in-law used to look at that guy. And
Was that in Plantation? Was that when you looked
at Plantation? Yeah, it was in Plantation. Yeah, the guy knocks on the door one day, and he looks like he's part model in a tank top and looked like he did a workout before he came in. And the neighbor had already warned me, like, four houses down, like, hey, man, I'm just giving you a heads up. Really good-looking dude's going to come up and ask you if he can do your pool, and I want to give you a heads up. He was banging my wife, and now we're divorced. And so he comes up, and my wife goes, we want to hire this guy. He seems so nice. And I go, he looks good too, huh? And she goes, no, we really want to hire him. And my mother-in-law's over here taking care of our babies. And I'm like, and all I could think of is, yeah, he ended up banging my wife. Good God, this kid. But he didn't do it. And he stayed. He was our guy. It was all right. Right. Not that I know of. Not that I know of.
Right.
I said, not that I know of.
Stayed around for 2 more years.
Well, you people don't forget anything. You people don't forget about anything.
Of course not.
Gosh, if something comes up, now I have to hear about that story.
Here's one that said, I spent $3,000 on a Christmas gift for my wife, and at the end, she asked me where the card was. I looked at her and I said, go buy one.
I was thinking, that's the first I've ever heard. Like, you get this big, beautiful $3,000 gift, and like, oh, but where's the card? Really?
Right.
That's good. That's a good one, man. That was good. I enjoyed that.
That is good. The only card worth the damn is a gift card. Somebody texted him.
Yeah, well. I do understand women do like cards. Even though they're not your words, there's somebody that writes those romantic damn cards and says all these things. After you read them, because usually, like, I would put some time and read, like, 6 or 7 of them. And I go, I would say something like this. Like, she had that. I could say that.
Man. Yeah. Somebody asked if you gave your wife used flowers once. You didn't do that, did you?
Oh, I did something lower than that. I don't have time to tell.
Oh, my God. No.
No, the lady next door broke up and didn't accept a boyfriend back. And he handed her these big, beautiful 2 dozen roses. They was gorgeous. Had to run him $200. And she gave them to me as I was coming home, and my wife was at work. She goes, you want these? And I go, yeah, as long as you don't say anything, I'll give them to Morgan and tell you they're from me. And the next thing you know, this woman, like, she ratted me out in the same day, like, hey, how'd you like your flowers, Morgan? She goes, oh, my God, it was so nice of Joe to do this. She goes, no, I gave them to him. I broke up with that ass clown I was dating. Cheated on me. He tried to get me back with those flowers. And it was like, She said it was the lowest thing I've ever done. I'm out of here, man. I'm tired. No more. Have a great weekend, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.